just come over if you want to join us.
What?
You joining us?
Yeah.
Don't be shy. Tons more room. Okay. So we're going to begin Shara Sheni today, okay? Which is, although not the very beginning of Sefer Mitzvah, last time we did the Hakdama, and we're skipping over Shara Shrishon temporarily. Now we're coming back to Shara Shrishon. I do not expect that we're going to understand Shara Sheni until we've done Shara Shrishon. But let's begin with Shara Sheni because that is, as we said last time, the crux of the entire Sefer. Everything rises or falls based on this Shorish. We saw last time to the top of this page, you can see it inside now. When Ramban finishes his extremely lengthy and detailed critique of the Rambam in Shor Sheni, based on many, many sources throughout Shas, he says at the end, "V'yadati ki od shmuot rabot b'gemara sotrot in yanov." And I'm well aware that there are so many other sugyot that I could have quoted that contradict what the Rambam says. But I didn't want to, didn't want to be marich, so I'm kata here. Right, ki sefer hazeh laravzal in yanom amtakim v'kulo machmadim. Right, all sweet and delicious, a wonderful sefer, referring to sefer mitzvah milvad ha'ikar hazeh, except for Shor Hasheni. Shuoker harim gdolim b'talmud u'mapil chomot b'tzurot b'gemara v'anyan l'omdei ha'gemara ra umar yishtakeh hadavar v'lo yanom. Okay, really very strong language. It should be forgotten and not said. This is just got to expunge any thought of Shor Hasheni. That's it. This is just bad. So, of course, who could resist? But you've got to learn Shor Hasheni. I mean, I don't think that the Ramban could have done a better job of advertising for learning Shor Hasheni of Sefer Mitzvot in this line. And I think that over the centuries, it's basically had that effect. I'm sure not intended. But nonetheless, let's take a look at Shor Hasheni. And I would argue several things. And you'll see, you'll judge for yourselves, not at the end of today, but at the end of a few days, maybe the end of this week, whatever it is, I would argue that number one, what the Rambam says in Shor Hasheni, far from being radical and difficult and ridiculous, is very simple and straightforward and self-explanatory, once you have a frame of reference for appreciating it. And second of all, and in that it's all from within the words of the Rambam, you'll see, not only here, but to a large degree here, more so that what the Rambam is saying is a very beautiful and important thing in understanding Torah Shebaal Peh in general. What the whole process of halacha and Torah Shebaal Peh is all about. That's what we like to try and do, really seriously, not because of the comment of the Ramban so much, is the fact that it really is very important. As the Rambam says in the Geret that we read last time, the Geret Tzur, these are things that are, it's like required reading. It's very important stuff that we need to understand if we're going to understand what Torah Shebaal Peh is all about. So let's start by looking at what the Rambam says. This is not the full thing, and you're more than welcome to read all of Shor Hasheni, but this is the most important part for our purposes of Shor Hasheni, and we're going to focus on this chunk of it. Hashor Hasheni, she'ein ro'i limnod kol mashal neidim b'achat m'shlosh esrei midot sh'atorah nidresha behen o b'riboy. Okay, one thing I have to ask is, though, everyone has to be a little patient. It's going to take a little time to go through things systematically. We can't do it all in like little neat units of one day. I can't. Okay. We don't count things, says the Rambam in the Targum Mitzvot, that are learned from the Drashot Chazal, from the Yudgim Midot, or from Riboy. Kvar b'yarenu, b'tichat kiburenu, b'perish ha-mishnah, and the Hakdama, t'perish mishnayot, the Rambam already explained. Shirov dinei ha-torah Yotzu, Yotziu, whatever, b'shlosh esrei midot shatorah nidresh bahen, b'shadin ha-yotzei b'mida me'otana midot, hinei pamim tipo bol ha-machloket, v'sheish sham dinim, heim perushim mekubalim mimosha e'im machloket bahem, v'al heim mevi'im raya lehem b'chat m'shlosh esrei midot, ki mechachmat ha-katuv, shu afshar shimatzei boru emez morea ala perush ha-hu ha-mkubal, o heke shirea ala. Okay, so the Rambam says, u'kvar b'yanu zen yan sham, fine. Ram says that he already explained in his Hakdama to Perish Mishnayot, okay, in a very famous passage, which he reiterates elsewhere as well. Ram says it in Perash Mishnah, he says it over here, he says it again in Hilchot Mamrim, that the that things that are, I'm going to say it's just in very, very vague and general terms, the things that are halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, okay, things that there were masar about originally, there would not be a machloket about. And that if we find a machloket, it's an indication there was no halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, and that in conjunction with that idea, he says, that when you find a drash of Chazal, you have something learned from the Yigil Mito, there are two possibilities. One possibility is that that's the real source. That Chazal derived it using that source, Yigil Mito. That's one possibility, and that's really where it comes from. It comes from this Kal Vachomer, from this Gzera Shavar, from this Riboy, whatever it is. That's one possibility. The Chazal pulled it out of the Pesukim based on the methodology of Yigil Mito, Chetar and Dresha Bahem, etc. It's also possible that the drasha is not the real source, that Chazal knew this already from some other source, and that some other source, the Rambam particularly focuses on Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, although it could also be, as many Rishonim point out, you could have a different pasuk that's the source, and then there's a drasha that's, you know, a secondary source. But primarily he says it could have something derived from the Yudgim Mida, or from other drasha Chazal, like Riboy, and The real source is not that drasha, but the real source is a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Okay, and then it's just showing that there's a hint at it, a hint to it in the psukim using the Yigil Mito. Okay, says that if the real source is a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, then there would be no machloket about it, etc. Because Rambam argues that we don't, that the things that were, there was a masar about, were never forgotten, were never confused, and so on and so forth. Now, or it could be, right, so, and then you have, that's the halakha moshe mi-Sinai. Or you could have that's the real source for it, and then, of course, there's room for a difference of opinion in terms of, do you derive this, do you not derive it, how do you derive it, what does it mean, etc. Now, the Rambam Shita, that's something which there is a masar about, you can't have machloket on, is a whole separate topic in and of itself. And we're not going to do that right now because that is a huge topic in itself. There's an entire and very fine book about it. Any minute you need? One, two. Okay. We're not going to, you know, that's a huge, huge problem. If you want to realize how huge a problem it is, the Chavos Yair, who is one of the Gdolei Achronim, has a tshuva in which he goes through, if I remember correctly, it's a number of years ago, he has something in the neighborhood of 66 kashas on this sheet of the Rambam from all over Shas, and he doesn't even ask the most difficult of the questions on the Rambam. Okay, it's a very difficult Rambam. Okay, to say that it was very difficult. If you've learned any Masechta in Shas, you realize that like it's a very difficult thing to maintain. That there's never a machloka based on anything in Masorah being forgotten, whatever. But that's what the Rambam says, and why he says it and what he means by it, etc., is really a whole study in of itself, and again, that's not our issue right now. But in any case, what the Rambam is really bringing in here is the idea that if you have a drush of Chazal, you have to ask yourself, is that really the source? Is that where we're deriving it from? Or is that just an asmachta, and really it has a different source in a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai? Okay? Now, the Rambam then goes on to say is, Ukishiyezekain, okay, the beginning of the line, about 6 lines down, Ukishiyezekain, Hinei lo kol mashinim sachachamim, Shautziu behekesh mishloshes remidot, Nomar shehu nemar l'moshe besinai, Velo gamkein nomar b'chol mashinim sa'em b'talmud, Yismuchu l'alachad mishloshes remidot, Shehu drabanan, Ki pamim yiyeh perush mekubal. The Rambam says, you can't just make one generalization and say, well, anything that's learned from the Yud-Gil Midot or from Riboy, it's Drabanan, because it's learned from the Yud-Gil Midot. Because that's only if the real source is the Drasha, right? If the real source is the Drasha, then we're absolutely going to call it Drabanan, to break off from whatever, says the Rambam. Okay? Trouble finding other Rishonim to agree with that, but that's what the Rambam says, okay, in a number of places. That's the Rambam consistently. In any case, that's the Rambam. However, if the real source is something else, the real source is, let's say, halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, take that, then it's d'oraisa. Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is every bit as d'oraisa as something that's written in a pasuk. It doesn't matter whether it's written in a pasuk or written in Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, so to speak. That's d'oraisa. The Rambam says, just because you find a drasha in the Gemara, it doesn't tell you whether it's d'oraisa d'rabbanan. Because if it's the real source is that drasha, it's d'rabbanan. If the real source is a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, and the drasha is just kind of like, you know, a backup or whatever, it's just a remez, well, that's a different story. Then it's d'oraisa. So the Rambam says, so I have a quandary, right? What do I do? How do I know whether or not if I find something, the source that the Gemara presents is a drasha, but I don't know, maybe the real source is a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, so I should count in the Targum Mitzvah, but maybe it's a drasha, and that's it, and maybe I shouldn't count it because it's only drabana. Okay? That's the Rambam's issue. Now, before we even go any further, you understand why the Ramban gets all excited about this. He says, whoa, what are you talking about? What do you mean that things that are derived from drashot, if that's really their source, that's drabanan? What are you talking about? That's all of Torah. There's very little in Torah that's written explicitly in Torah Shebichtav. There's very little that you could open up a chumash and say, well, okay, you would know that you can't murder someone or you can't steal, but I mean, anything beyond that, or you know, that there's something that you can't do on Shabbos, although you had very little idea what that would be. Well, what do you mean? Okay, so maybe some of it's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, but how much of it? Almost everything, almost all of Torah, beyond the little bit that's, you know, Pshuto Shel Mikra, and the little bit additional that's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, almost everything is derived from something in the Yugim Mida, right? And one's learned any part of Gemara knows that. And how do we treat those things? Do we treat them as d'oraisa? Do we treat them as rabbanan? Of course we treat them as d'oraisa. At least a lot of it we treat as d'oraisa. So the Ramban says, you can go from one sugya to the next and find one thing after the other that's derived from the Yud Gimel Midot that we treat as a d'oraisa. And then we say, for example, what would be a litmus test of being d'oraisa?
Suffolk.
Okay, suffolk d'oraisa. L'chumra, for example, right? Just to give one example. And so on. Okay, this is what the Rambam says. I'm sorry, this is what the Ramban, right, the Ramban comments. So that's the first problem that the Ramban has, and probably the central problem that the Ramban has. Okay. Next. Leficha, says the Rambam. So I'm stuck. I don't know what's d'oraisa, what's d'rabanan. So what do I do? Okay, we're at the bold print here. Leficha, haru'oi bezeh, shekol mashlo tinsu'u katu batarak. It is not an explicit passage. It's tinsu'u b'talmud, shlamdu b'achat mishloshesrei midos, in Biaruhaim Ba'atzmam, if the Gemara itself, the Chazal themselves say, we'll tell you it's Doraita. If I'm Rusha Zed Guf Torah, or Shazed Doraita, or some similar language, Hinei Ra'oilim No Tosha, then I should count it. Shamakablim, those who receive this tradition, I'm Rusha Doraita. Vim Lo Yivaru Zed, the Lo Dibrubo, but if there is no source in Chazal to say it's Doraita, Hinehu Drabanan, the assumption is it's Drabanan. She'ein Shem Katuv Yerela, because there's no source in the Pasuk. We don't find Chazal telling us it's d'oraisa, which means halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So it must be d'rabanan. That's what the Rambam says. Okay. So that would be bad enough. But then the Rambam goes on. Okay, the Rambam goes on. He says, if you're going to count things that are learned from the Yud Gimel Midot and from Riboy, there are going to be tens of thousands of things. There aren't going to be 613. Okay, now let's pick up from where it's underlined. V'ulai tachshov, and this is a crucial line in the Rambam. V'ulai tachshov, shani boreach milimnotan, liotan bilti amitiot, ve'yot hadin ayotzei b'midah hi emet o bilti emet. So maybe you'll think, chas v'shalom, that I don't believe in these halachot, I don't think that they're true, I don't think the drashot are valid. Ein zo asiba. That's not pshat. Aval hasiba. Now remember, a moment ago he just told us they think that all this stuff is what? Which would seem to indicate that he doesn't think all these drashot are real, that he doesn't think they're valid, that he doesn't think that these halachot are true in the sense that they're minat Torah. And it's midrabanan, but okay. Hanukkah is also midrabanan, you know. So then he goes on to say, aval hasiba, the reason I don't count it is not because I think that they're not real or valid. Anything that's derived by a person is like branches from the roots. Shenemrolu Mosh Misinai Bebeiro Behem Tayag Mitzvah. Hard to even translate this at this point, but okay. Vafilu Hayam Motzi Moshe Batzmo. Even if the person that derived it was Moshe Rabbeinu, Ein Ra'u L'Minatan, I still wouldn't count it. Okay. So this is the principle of the Rambam. Now the Rambam then goes on to apply this idea not just in Sefer HaMitzvot, but actually throughout all of his writings. And so in Mishneh Torah, just to give the most famous example, although there are many, in Hilchos Isha Perek Aleph Halacha Bet, and this really gets everyone a little upset, V'likuchen Elu Mitzarasei Shel Torahim U'v'achad Mishlosh Tvarim Ha'isha Niknei B'kesef U'b'shtar B'biya B'biya U'b'shtar Min HaTorah U'v'kesef Mitzvei Sofrim. Now you have to realize there are three methods of Kedushin, right? There's Bia, Shtar, and Kesef. Okay? Now the Gemara says that Mikash Bia is us. Okay. That leaves us Shtar and Kesef. Now anyone that I know who's married, any of my friends, and you can take your own particular poll, but as far as I know, they all got married through Kesef. Because Kedushin, what everyone does. They get a ring, marry Amu Kadesh, the whole thing. Everyone gets married through Kesef. That's the standard way. I mean, Star. I've never met anyone who got married to a star. I don't know if there's innately a problem with it like Bia, but it's certainly not the common practice and certainly creates more problems than Kesef. And everyone gets married through Kesef. So the Mefarshim all ask, what do you mean? You mean that this woman is only Mikudeshet Midrabanan? Is that really true? And what happens, let's say, if another man then comes over right after the Harei At, right? She's standing under the chuppah, and they just did the Harei At, and so another man comes over and gives her a star, right? A star kedushin. She accepts the star, so then who's she married to? Well, she's only married Midrabanan to the first guy, so she's married to the second guy in Minatar. Is that true? And what happens in terms of, you know, like all the halachot of Eshet Ish? Like, you know, like adultery and all that, does that mean that if after the Kesef Kedushin, so then none of the halachot or raita apply? We don't find that any place in the Rambam, let alone in Shas or any of the Rishas. What are you talking about? She's Mekudesh Midrabanan because it's not explicit in the Pesukim and we don't have halachot Mosh Mishinai about it. It's learned, you know, Kicha Kicham Stefan, so therefore it's, you know, it's Drabanan. That's crazy. How can you possibly say such a thing? Yeah.
The Rambam says over here that it's Medivrei Sofrim. How do we know that we're equating that with
right.
Midrabanan?
So you have to read. Some people actually distinguish between Medivrei Sofrim and Midrabanan. I don't think it holds up. You have to look through all the Rambams.
Even all through Mishneh Torah, when he uses the phrase, he's using it in the same sense.
The same thing, yeah. Oh, no really? Difference. There are those who say there's a difference. I can't say if there's no one who says there's a difference. I don't think that's the answer.
Okay.
I don't think it works. Okay, yeah, I mean, you have to look through all the Rambams, but I don't think it bears up to scrutiny. Okay, so, in any case, yeah.
In Kedushin, there's a concept that was mentioned it once in the first paragraph, from what I understand. What Kedushin is about versus Kedushin Safek. Is it possible that would create a Kedushin Safek, but not a Kedushin Safek?
Yeah, the answer is, no, it's not possible. How can you say this then? Did you say Safeg? Well, where was that? You know what I'm saying?
I
mean, like,
you know, all the things that the Gemara brings it up as a concept.
No, but I'm saying, but do we find that Kedushay Kesef is only Safeg or is only never? I mean, you know, it's unbelievable, and it is one of the kashas that, you know, all in Farshim ask. Okay, so this is just an example. Okay, just an example. Now, Before we go any further, let me just dispense of one simple and very important, but I don't think correct, explanation for the Rambam, and that's given by the Rashbates. Okay, one of the great Rishonim, the Rashbates, a sefer called Zohar Rakia, which is on the Sefer HaMitzvot, etc., on the Targ Mitzvot. So the Rashbates and Zohar Rakia suggest the following, which is probably of the answers that don't work. This is probably the best of them. There are a lot of others, but this is probably the best of the answers that don't work. And we'll try to get some ones that do work shortly, but one thing at a time. And I have to say, before we get to it, it's very interesting. There's a vast literature on Sefer HaMitzvah, and I don't claim to have read more than a tiny bit of it. But from the little bit that I've read, I've noticed a very interesting thing, and that is that a lot of the things that the later commentaries, classical Achronim, whatever, say on Sefer HaMitzvah, very often when they're defending the Rambam, etc., it's amazing how much of it that they say, like they've discovered America or whatever, that they say it like, you know, the biggest chiddush in the world is found already in the Hasagot of the Ramban. The Ramban will suggest and reject, you know, a lot of ideas, and will throw out and say, and don't tell me this, and don't tell me that, and then, like, you know, you have the Megillat Esther, one of, you know, the other commentaries on the Sefer Mitzvah, come along and say, this is the answer, this is the solution to the, you know, problem with the Rambam. And okay, we know the Ramban, you know, that's the Ramban, right? The Ramban anticipated almost everything, you know, that there were. It's amazing. But he says it very tersely, as he always does. So we can see a few examples of that, but one of the things is the Rashbe suggests that, look, maybe the Rambam doesn't mean that these are Drabbanan in terms of anything, that they mean very seldom. It just means, with respect to the issue of whether you count them as part of the Tariq Mitzvah thing, don't get all excited. What we're talking here about whether you count them as part of the Tariq Mitzvah. Right, that's what the Rashbe suggests. The problem with that, which is already pointed out by the Ramban, is the Rambam's litmus test. Right? The Rambam says that the answer that the Rashbe suggests is that when the Rambam says that if something is derived from the Yud Gimel Midot or from Drash L'Chazal, it's only Drabbanan, he doesn't mean it's Drabbanan. He means you don't count in the Tariq Mitzvah. Because after all, that's what he's talking about here in right in Sefer Mitzvah. Now, of course, it's hard to say that that's what he's talking about in Hilchot Isha, for example, but okay, no, maybe we could say it. The real problem is the Rambam's litmus test, right? Remember, the Rambam provided a litmus test. He said, there's a way of telling whether a particular drasha is the Araita or Drabbanan. How do you tell? Well, I mean, something that's derived from a particular drasha. How do you tell, right? So if the Gemara itself refers to it as the Araita or as Gufta or whatever, so then it's the Araita. If the Gemara doesn't, then it's Drabbanan. And all those Gemaras that the Rambam's talking about, is it plausible that they're discussing whether or not you count something in the Tariq Mitzvah? You know what I'm saying? That's very difficult to say. The Gemara hardly ever talks about the Tariq Mitzvah, right? When does the Gemara talk about Tariq Mitzvah? There's one Gemara at the end of Makkos. And then there are a few Midrashei Chazal. Chazal are not focused on it. It's not like every other sugya is about Tariq Mitzvah. We say, like, every time when the Gemara says something, the Araita is talking about whether it's one of the Tariq Mitzvah. Very difficult to say. So, yeah.
So, would the last lesson say that doing Kiddushin by Shtar, Biyah, and Kesef are three separate Mitzvahs?
No, he didn't say that. No, he doesn't say they're three separate Mitzvahs. He said they're all equally valid Minatara.
Okay.
The truth of the matter is that, see, part of the problem is that in Hilchot Ishud, no one would say that you count as three separate mitzvah. The Chishta even count it as one. Right? That's Machlokes Rishon. But counting it as three, no one would say you count it as three, as far as I know. The why? Because there are three details of one mitzvah.
Right, so that's what the rest of that saying. Does it make sense? It's just a detail, it's not a mitzvah. In
I know, it's difficult. It's difficult. So I'd like to suggest a different approach, okay, to understanding the Rambam, but we're going to have to take it slow, one step at a time. It's going to involve a number of steps. Let's try and see if we can go through it piece by piece by piece. Okay, here we go. I'm going to just start today, as our Hashem will continue tomorrow. Okay, let's first see the Ramban inside, and then we'll proceed from there. It says, V'achshav ani chozer al klal asher hu etzu arav sheni. Shekol davar nomad b'midot chatorin dresha b'hen yem midrabanan v'filu hayam moti Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom v'ulam mashiyah perush mekubal mimenu v'ushe b'yaru ha'sofrim v'zad davar ne'estra p'ulato v'yisuro midoraita az yimneu to mifnei shehu noda b'kabala lo bekesh u'pli adam mimeni nisgava lo chala. Okay, taking from Eov. It says, she'im nomar ki ein amidot ha'nidrashot mekubalo misinai. v'lonit savinu l'drosh v'lefrosh bahen et ha-Torah. If you're going to tell me that things that are derived through Yikim Midot are not really the intent of the Torah, im kein harehim b'ti amitiot, v'amet hu pashtei dekra b'lvad, lo adavar nidrash. He says, I don't understand what the Rambam is saying here. He is like, he wants to have it both ways. If you're going to tell me that only what is explicit in the Pesukim, that is not derived from the Yud Gimel Midot, that's Doraita, so fine. But then don't tell me that I don't question their validity and their truth. You're telling me that they're built Amitiot. I mean, the fact that you say, well, you know, Derabbanan doesn't make an Amitiot. Amitiot means that you think it's a real drasha, you think it's a real derivation, you think that it's really has validity in the Torah. Kimosh is here. Okay. And then if that's true, we kind of shorish kabbalat tainu b'yugim midot shatarni drash b'hem. You've uprooted the entire Masorah. V'rov ha-Talmud, I show you sad b'hem. That's just basically, you've wiped out all shots. V'arav chozer modeh she'ein no hasibam p'nei she'ein amitio. And then the Rambam goes back and says, oh, of course I believe in it. On the other hand, v'im amitio tain ma b'in ha-makom she'im ha-zkirim zeh b'feirush. So if they really are valid and these drashot are real, what's the difference whether Chazal say it's Doraita or they don't say it? We know it's true because of the fact that in general they tell us that these are real drashot. Shimno mar kevan shlo nechtav hadavar batorah eino bichal mitzvot af hamuz karot mehem batalmud lo mar ben Doraita hum igzera shavu mi riboy af hein lo nechtavu. Uma sha'amar b'sof mipnei shehu noda b'kabbalah lo b'hekesh. Ima midot amitiot hakol noda b'kabbalah mitoi barach. Va'od shalach l'mosh misinai etzla rav divrei sof rimhi. V'im kena davar mkubal lo yikra davar torah mitzah kabbalah el mitzad heyoto nidrash me midot hu davar torah. V'hine harav ma'arbev dvarav. Right? The Rambam is mixing things together. V'chazav natan tam acher. And he goes and gives us a different explanation. Let's think about derivatives and branches and roots. The Ramban says, understand. Then the Rambam starts talking about things that are extensions, derivatives, branches, roots. If the Rambam means by that they're details, they're extensions of things that are already in the Targ Mitzvah, so then it has nothing to do with the fact that it's through a Yergil Midot or a Reboy or whatever. We wouldn't count them even if they were black on white in Pasha Psha and the Pesukim, because the Rambam says explicitly that you don't count each individual detail of a mitzvah as a separate mitzvah. Otherwise, we'd have millions of mitzvah just based on what's in the Pesukim, right? In other words, we don't say that, you know, each detail of how you make something or what the criteria are or so on and so forth, those don't each count as a separate halacha. Well, you have the halacha of paraduma, right? And the halacha of mechata. Don't count each individual detail that's not, you have a whole parak that tells you all kinds of details, you know, on this day and that day, you take this and you take that and you do this and you do that. Each one of those details is not a separate halacha. So those are anafim min asharashim. And we don't count them, having nothing to do with the fact that they are not explicit in the, they are explicit in the psukim. So the Rambam seems to be mixing together all kinds of things. Ramban has a lot of issues here with the Rambam. Okay? Everyone got it? It's a little complicated. Okay. So, what we need to do is something very obvious. We want to understand Shorasheni, the first step is going to be to do what? What's the first thing we need to do?
Understand Alphabet.
Okay, well, what?
Understand Shorasheni.
Okay, we need to look at Shorash Rishon. Okay, so we need to understand Shorash Rishon, because that Shorash Rishon, how can we possibly help to understand Shorash Sheni? And one of the things that and I think in doing so we will see several things. We'll see, number one, a perspective on what's going on in Shorash Sheni. We'll understand a lot about the whole process of Shorash Malpeh, And at the same time, we will see some important methodological points in terms of how to approach things in Rishonim and in general. And we'll try to do this all, as Hashem, over the next little bit. We're going to start by looking at Shorash Rishon. So, in general, there's no preparation required for the shiur. Everyone's welcome to just come and sit and, you know, relax and enjoy it. However, if anyone wants to look at something ahead of time, so the recommended reading for tomorrow is Shorash Rishon. Okay, so this is a natural stopping point. There's no exact fixed time for this. Sometimes it'll be long, sometimes a little shorter. It's never going to be very long, but, you know, ranging 30, 40 minutes, something like that. Depending, today we can go for a little shorter because there's a natural break. We will continue Hashem with Shorash Rishon, and then come back to what Pshat and Shorash Sheni is, Ezra Hashem, over the next day or two.